Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Blade's coming back, everybody. Welcome to Caravan of Garbage.
Be scared if you're a vampire.
That's right.
But if you aren't a vampire, maybe also be scared because there's a lot of stray bullets flying around.
Sometimes he'll be holding you in a hospital and then cops just open fire.
Yeah, and maybe he'll spin around and like cop the bullets on his back and protect you, but maybe he won't.
Maybe he won't.
You know, he's getting old, this guy. He doesn't live as long as vampires, if you recall.
He has all their strengths and none of their weaknesses, except for the weaknesses that he needs, like, a lot of blood or a serum all the time to survive.
Yep.
And he ages rapidly.
Seems that way.
Yes. Anyway, Blade 1998. This movie, it kicked off a lot. It kind of doesn't get the credit it necessarily deserves because it's pre-X-Men, like pre-Spider-Man. It's pre-The Matrix. And there is some stuff from this that kind of like, well, that's very Matrix-esque, isn't it?
Certainly. Trench coats.
That's right.
Yep.
But it's also post-Crow. So.
Oh, of course. It's right in that sweet spot, isn't it?
It really
is.
It
was a post-Crow universe. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
But it was also an era where it was the same year as Batman and Robin, so everyone was like, these are over. We're not doing these comic
books. Absolutely true, And this sort of reinvigorated the genre.
Mm.
This was also in the era where Marvel comics, because it's a Marvel property, I think maybe not everybody knows that. But I mean they'll know it now.
Sure.
They'll bloody know it now. Because it seems
Well, they don't say Marvel at the start either.
No,
the success of this is not the comic book element of it. That's not why it took off.
No, it's the gore and the action.
Yeah.
And Wesley Snipes.
And the
But so this was right when Marvel were in some serious financial trouble, as they often were throughout the 90s. And if I remember correctly, this is one of the properties that they sold for like a pittance.
Yeah, right.
And I don't have the exact figure, but I think it was like $75,000. Like they sold the property to New Line Cinema, who then made $130 million.
Yeah, just for this one alone.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole trilogy made something like $400 million in total.
That's
something
enough.
Like that. Yeah, which is plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, New Line apparently originally wanted to do it as an action comedy, but David S. Goyer, who's gone on to do Batman v Superman and things of varying quality.
Uh-huh.
There's good and ill.
Yeah.
For sure. But he was like, no, let's do this like gritty and real. But this isn't actually the gritty and real. But this isn't actually...
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I think this is dated, but it's the best kind of dated.
Yeah, look.
I mean, a blood rave. That's what vampires would do in the 90s.
In the 90s, exactly. That's right.
That's how you'd lure a 48-year-old human man.
Yeah. The 90s, there would be an action subplot where Blade has to get back his tiny little sunglasses, which are cool then. These days, no. Back in the day, oh, he made those cool.
You know he did.
Mm.
So this particular version of Blade, the vampire elements of him and the fact that his mother was bitten by a vampire and then he's born and he's got half the powers and all that, that's not the Blade from the comics, is it? A lot of that is invented for this. Is
yeah,
that right?
I mean, the original comic book Blade, A, British, I won't hear of it. And yeah, secondly, his powers were much more limited in the comic books. He was more or less a regular human vampire hunter, except he couldn't be turned into a vampire. Yeah. That was his number one
So say strength. A man with a metal collar is the equivalent.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Right.
A man who's good at dodging someone flinging their face and mouth at you.
Sure.
You know, when this movie became popular, when the Blade trilogy became popular, they did what often they do with the comic book characters. They make it more like the movie version. So in the comics, he was then bitten, I think, by Morbius, the living vampire. Right, yeah. And he basically
we'll get back to him
mutated and gained all the powers that he has in the movies.
It's actually a Morbius cameo in an alternate ending, but we'll come back to that, Mason. Don't even worry about it. The blade that we kind of know in the comics now is this blade.
Yes.
Really. I love the martial arts in this. It's pretty decent for the time, especially in a pre-Matrix world.
Yep.
Post the Crow, obviously.
Yep. And they recycled those same four like punch sound effects.
Yeah, boy, do
but
they.
But they did it. They gave it enough variation. You barely even notice.
You don't even
notice. Every time.
You can't help but notice.
It's inescapable.
The effects are a mixed bag, but for the time, mostly pretty good. Like the ash effect when he kills a vampire and they go down to their skeleton. I think if it was faster, it would look better. Because often you'll just see the CGI skeleton for a second before it disappears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But everything about the character in terms of like the costume, I love the symmetry. Even the sword is like directly in the middle of his back.
Uh-huh.
Like the haircut and the tattoos, the jacket. I love his array of weapons. Some you only see like once. Like the sword's great with the little trick blade in it.
Mm-hmm. The gun for shooting.
The gun for shooting is good also. Mm-hmm. But he only uses this weapon once. The garrote is incredible.
Oh yeah,
he garrotes Mr. Pigtails at the head and takes his head off.
Yeah, right.
That's an incredible weapon. Before Wesley Snipes, though, they actually considered Denzel Washington, LL Cool J, and Lawrence Fishburne. But Wesley Snipes became involved because he was going to do Black Panther for Marvel, and that was kind of was taking its time, and it wasn't really didn't look like it was going to happen. And then he ended up being Blade instead of Black Panther. Yeah,
good move.
There's an interview with him because I know we'll get to Blade 3 another week, maybe even another year. But there's an interview where he's in the full Blade getup, glasses and all, and he's talking about the movie Blade, and he kind of slips in and out of him being Blade.
And was that before he was cast as Blade?
No,
he just started doing interviews as Blade and hoping for the best.
Because there is that story about Blade 3 where he'd gone full meta character or whatever whatever was happening, and everyone on set had to refer to him as Blade. And
yes.
It was very much in the moment, yeah. What do you think of Karen Jensen?
Who's that?
The love interest.
She's fine.
Yeah, she's fine. There was a scene with her that was cut because it was too disturbing. She goes to Blade and Whistler's hideout. And she's like, sweet warehouse. And they're like, we know, it's the 90s, we know.
We know. It's a sweet warehouse that's very easily accessible by just, it's just next to a train station.
Yeah.
There are literally trains going past it. There's no doors. You could just walk in.
Well, they do just walk in. He gets right up to Whistler, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Right there. Hits him right in the face. The villain. Mm. We'll get back to him. But she finds a vampire baby in this deleted scene that they're just testing all their different weapons and experiments on to see what kills vampires.
And what would also probably kill regular babies.
Yeah,
as
sure,
well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You think this silver bullet will kill this vampire baby? Bang!
We'll give that a go.
Yeah.
Donald Logue's in this, Mr. Pigtails.
Yes, as Quinn, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. His role was extended because he was very funny on set, and so he kind of gets a fair bit to do before he's garrotted to pieces at the end. But I saw this bit of trivia and I thought it was pretty amusing. So in the hospital scene, you know where Donald Logue is in the complete burn victim makeup, like head to toe.
And then later he regenerates his entire body, including his hair and his beard.
That's right. Well, it's like the Wolverine, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
He's growing his hair back instantly. Mm-hmm. But in that fight scene, he got his jaw massively dislocated.
Oh, for real?
For real. So they had to take him to a real hospital. And the hospital were like, what happened to this man? Because he's just covered still head to toe in the burns.
Oh, yeah, wow.
In the prosthetic burns. But apparently it's this thing where he had this accident years prior, and if he gets hit in the jaw the wrong way, it'll just lock open.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so there you go. Also, why didn't Blade kill that guy? He just lights him on fire and just backs away. You know he's going to jump up in the morgue.
No, I think...
Was it the cops interrupting?
No, I think he would have killed the cops as well.
Okay.
No, I think I got the impression, and I'm sure I didn't think about it at the time, but I got the impression when we just rewatched it that he wanted to send a message to the bad guys. The leaders of the vampire factions.
But really, he's making more vampires doing that, isn't he?
I guess that's true.
He made two. I mean, one got unvampired.
That's true,
because she happened to be an unvampirologist.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That just happened to be a degree, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely it is. What do you think of Whistler? He dies briefly. He comes back. What do you think of that character? Chris Christopherson. He's like a movie star of the past. By the time this rolls around.
Country singer as well?
Yeah, right? Sure. Why not?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's a Bradley Cooper-esque man, isn't he?
Yes. What?
You know, Bradley Cooper does the country singer song where he's like, how many roads am I winding down? I killed myself at the end.
I haven't seen whatever movie that is.
Okay,
I haven't seen it.
I love the bit, though, where Whistler's filling up the car
Uh-huh.
And he's just splashing petrol all over the car.
And then he lights
a cigarette. That guy, if the vampires didn't get him,
yeah,
he was got to explode himself regardless.
Well, he's got a big leg brace down one leg. And I guess, we're to assume that he got that in battle with vampires, but he probably just got a caught in a revolving door or something.
Yeah, no doubt. An alternate ending in Hell for jumping ahead, but Blade goes to Russia at the end.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That vampire that he sees was going to be Whistler. So that was one, at one point, that was going to be that situation. So, yeah. But they saved him for Blade 2, Blade On, bro. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the villain in this, Deacon Frost.
Well, there's two villains. There's, of course, the great Udo Kier, who's been in 1 million films.
Who's that?
The Eastern European guy. You know, like the head of the traditional vampires.
I love the board of weird Eastern European vampires.
Me too, yeah.
I'm there for it every goddamn day of the week.
But then we've got a fresh new face, Stephen Dorff as Deacon Frost.
I forgotten kind of his role in this. Like, I knew he was in it, but he's really good in this movie.
I agree.
Yeah. He's a very sinister villain, and he's mostly disappeared, but, you know, he's popped up here and there. Most recently, he was in the new season of True Detective, where he was also really good. He was in that Britney Spears film clip, if you remember.
The one where she's on Mars?
No, that's Life on Mars. It's David Bowie.
Oh, I see, right. Uh-huh.
But yeah, the Deacon Frost role was, they went to Jet Li and they ended up getting this guy, which I think works. The hair, the cigarette behind the ear. Yes. That's very 90s.
Ah, the leather blazers.
You know it.
So good.
What do you think of familiars in this? I like that element of vampire lore, and I like them bringing it to the modern era of 1998 where, you know, you got your cops and whoever. They can be anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm. I like that.
Me too.
That's all I have on that. You threw me a curveball. I hadn't even thought about it, but I like it.
How's this, though?
Yes.
This movie has some terrific lines. I wrote down my three standout ones.
I already know what number one is, but give us the other two.
Okay, so the number one is obviously some motherfuckers always try to ice skate on.
Is that an expression?
No, it was apparently it was something he said in relation to that character.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Character offset, and people are like, that's cool and makes sense.
It doesn't, though, does it?
Does it really apply to that character?
No.
Because he doesn't feel like he's not really ice skating uphill.
He has the powers of a god at that point.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
He's doing very well for himself. I think it's also probably something that maybe a member of his entourage said and he stole it.
Okay, right, yeah. Mm. So that guy's just still seething 20
years absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
He ratted him out for tax evasion.
That's right.
Yeah. The other one is when the police shoot Blade in the hospital and he says that, I'm butchering these. But don't worry, in the video, Ben will edit in the real dialogue. You know, that motherfucker, you out your damn mind or whatever. Because he breaks out of that, because a lot of the movie is just like, I'm Blade and I'm serious and I'm talking through my teeth with a slight lift because I've got the teeth in. And the other one is where Whistler hands in the torch, the UV torch.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, it's still heavy. And he's like, but you're so big.
So, yeah.
It's great stuff.
It is a good movie. It's a good, it's held up. For the most part, it is held up.
The blood effects certainly haven't held up.
A lot of the CGI hasn't held up. I know we mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
Most of that finale where we've got vampire, demon skeletons coming out of people's bodies.
Oh,
atrocious. When Deacon Frost turns into that blood god and his hand sort of regenerates into...
He's cut in half and then he squishes back together. That's an alternate ending though, because they reshot it. I don't know if you've seen it. But the actual ending they shot is he just turns into a big blood tornado.
Okay.
And Deacon Frost kind of, he whips Blade around the room and Blade's like, I can't even deal with this blood tornado. And then at one point, it's still rough, but Deacon Frost's like head and shoulders come out of the top and he's like, hey, Blade, it's me.
You mean the anti-dandruff shampoo?
That's what I mean, yes. Yep. Well, he's got great 90s hair, doesn't he? Yeah. Upon test screening that, people were like, there's a big disconnect between this character that we enjoyed and then he's just a big swirling blood tornado.
Yeah, how about we have them fight kung fu style?
Yeah. Mm. But a lot of that kung fu style bit at the end is just, it seems to be them just clacking swords diagonally, yes. have you noticed that?
Well, I agree, but at the same time, I think, because that was the limitations of the genre again at the time. Because that was pre The Matrix.
Sure.
That it was just
the Crow's post The Crow.
Post The Crow, exactly. Yeah. So it was just a lot of swords clacking. But I think they fixed it. I think the editing conceals that as best they can at the time. Like it looks dangerous, again, even though it's just, okay, clack them together for 5 minutes and we'll just put something together that works.
Did you enjoy the spin kicks hitting nobody?
Yes, all the two together. Okay. And here we have the clip of Blade and a henchman spin kicking the air.
You could loop that endlessly.
Yes, that's right. There's probably a 10-hour clip on
YouTube. Oh, there almost certainly is, yeah. But I think that there are some special effects that are good. The bit where they put that European vampire in the sun.
Yep.
And he kind of sizzles away, and it's kind of Raiders of the Lost Ark-esque, where his body's just kind of tearing apart from the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it in terms of special effects.
I like the serum that bubbled up the vampires.
Actually,
I think that's a good effect.
That feels practical, some of those bubbly people. I wonder whether they made them practically and then kind of imposed them into the shot.
Yeah, or just put them in a decompression chamber.
Yeah, that might have been it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Get some extras, doesn't matter, mate.
Yeah.
You do it for the credit and the love of the craft.
Absolutely.
That's what you tell them, yeah.
Yeah, the movie The Craft.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was probably this year, I'd imagine.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. And there's also the puppetry of that giant slovenly vampire. That's a practical effect, but, you know, there's...
Good choice of words, slovenly. It's a slovenly vampire.
Very slovenly. Apparently, the story behind that guy is he's just eating babies. So he's just got to that point where it's beyond blood.
What is this original script? There's a lot of babies being eaten and shot with silver bullets. What's happening?
There certainly is.
Was this a reworked script that was just called Blade Baby Shooter?
It may very well have been. You know what surprised me? There's a scene that showed a lot of restraint. It's after Whistler dies and Blade is suiting up. And he's clicking in his silver bullets. And it's just mostly silent with some kind of low hum, ominous music. But I feel like you could have easily have just had that go. But it's not. And I mean, it becomes that.
Oh, sure.
When he gets to the lobby, like The Matrix. Or maybe even the bit where he dodges the bullets.
Like the Matrix.
I enjoyed the bit where Blade tears out a vampire's throat and throws it at another guy.
It's pretty good, yeah. That's a good scene, sure. I loved it when the vampires could survive in daylight just by putting on a lot of sunscreen. You'd really want to zinc that scalp.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You get that right in there. Or a lot of gel, I guess.
Oh, gel would probably... It was the 90s. Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
Fudge? Was that the 90s?
They probably put some fudge in, yeah. SPF 30 fudge.
I liked that sunscreen element because you'd give that a go, wouldn't you?
You'd give it a go.
I mean, it'd probably still get your eyes, but, you know, you make it work, don't you?
Put some fudge in your eyes.
Yeah, put some fudge in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a Stan Lee cameo that was cut in this. You know, the cops that run in to find his pigtails on fire on the wall. Yeah. One of them was supposed to be Stan Lee, but they just went, nobody knows Stan Lee.
Nobody could imagine Stan Lee. Even if you knew him, nobody could imagine Stan Lee running into any location. So.
This isn't Mallrats.
Exactly. That's right.
This is post-Mallrats.
This is serious business. This is post-Mallrats days. Yeah.
I think it wraps up well, and it sets up a sequel that they probably were very unsure that they were going to have without leaning too heavily into it. There is an alternate ending, and you can find this, where Blade goes outside and he's with his lady friend, whose name I've already forgotten, the scientist who cures being a vampire. You'd think the vampires would at least look into that, wouldn't you? I mean, I know they probably don't want to be cured, but it's kind of, it's knowledge you'd want. Say you've got an enemy that you could turn to a human and then you could use them as a blood bag or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. But they're like, vamp.
Or if you want to go on like a seaside holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to fudge.
You don't
want
to zinc up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you could just become a human for a bit, go on and have a lovely holiday, then just get bitten by a vampire again, turn into a vampire.
Come back, be vampire.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. They kind of really speed over that vampire cure. Curing a vampire is impossible. I did it in like 6 hours. Oh, wow. That's pretty good. Can you make me a new serum? Yeah, probably. I probably can.
I probably should have got in contact with you years ago, to be honest. I mean, it's nice that happenstance has brought us here together, but yeah.
But no, there is an ending where Blade goes outside and is like, there's more danger and there's more things to do. And the lady, whose name I've forgotten, is like, what about that guy? And you look in the distance and there's a man in a trench coat with long hair standing on a building, and Blade's like, he gets ready for action. That's supposed to be Michael Morbius.
Oh.
Which they're making a solo film of with Jared Leto at this very moment.
Leto himself.
That's right. But they realise that they don't own the rights to that character because Spider-Man was at Sony and still is. So they couldn't just put in Michael Morbius. But also, they could have just put him in and be like, who's that?
some other guy.
Just some guy. Because they don't say, that's Michael Morbius.
You know, from the comic books none of you are reading, that's why Marvel's going out of business.
There's also a deleted scene where Deacon Frost opens the freezer in his apartment.
And there's dead babies?
No, you're close.
Oh, what a twist.
Do you know who his idea is? He's going to release the blood tornado and infect everybody in the world and turn them into a vampire. That was also an alternate ending.
Yeah, right.
Where then it would end with Blade and his lady friend traveling the world fighting vampires.
Huh.
But then if you turn everyone into a vampire...
Well, how do you feed?
Mm-hmm. So he's just got people hanging in giant plastic bags in his freezer. And he's like, yeah, I just keep people in here and I just drink their blood. Like, this is a test, but we're going to do this the world over. It's going to be great. People are going to love it. So that was the idea.
If you were
thinking this plan makes no sense.
I was. And continue to do so, yes.
I got a last little fact here. Steve Norrington, the director.
Yes.
He didn't direct.
That's a name I recognised when I saw it in the credits, but I didn't know what he was from.
You'll know in a second. He didn't do either of the sequels.
Uh-huh.
But the last film he did direct, and this makes a lot of sense, is League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, yep, okay.
Do you understand now?
Yep, Stephen Norrington's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Yeah, I get it now. That's interesting because, again, Blade, having rewatched it in the year of our Lord 2019, still a pretty solid film.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that if we rewatched League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it would not hold up at this point.
I 100% agree.
So how did a man fall so far?
Yeah.
Is the question, right?
Hubris, thy name be Stephen Norrington, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But there you go.
Yeah. What I did like in the credits, we had Blade created by Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan. I'm like, that's a nice little touch because that often didn't happen.
Yeah.
I just looked into it. Apparently, that's because Marv Wolfman sued New Line for $35 million. And then rather than giving him the money, they're like, let's give you a created by credit.
Brilliant. Mm. And didn't he not get it on the second one either or something?
That is correct, yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good work,
or the
everybody.
TV show, yeah.
Mm. Or the TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so we're getting the new Blade. You excited for it?
So excited.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, first of all, reintroduction of Blade, but also introduction of vampires into the larger Marvel universe. What kind of vampires are they going to be? They're going to be this kind of vampire. They're going to be a weird magic vampire that turns into a bat and a wolf and whatever, got hypnosis powers.
You want Stephen Dorff, 90s vampire? You want him back?
Yes.
Sunscreen him up, gel in the hair, fudge in the hair.
I feel like that's the essence of a vampire. You know how they say like certain men, like their fashion stops in the best year of their life?
And if you're a vampire bitten in the 90s...
Leather blazer fudge in the hair.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What an era.
Mm.
People thought maybe Wesley Snipes wouldn't be happy with this situation because he's talked about wanting to return to the character of Blade, but he recently put up a social media post where he's like, it's a new era, man. Good on him.
Yeah, that's
true. Get out there. So there you go. He's got the blessing of Blade himself.
Do you think he's going to get a cameo in the movie?
That's a good question.
Maybe could be the Whistler character.
Could be a Whistler,
character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe, potentially.
But that'd be Abigail Whistler.
Oh,
Blade 3.
Daughter of.
Yes.
Fantastic. Famous anti-vaxxer, Abigail Whistler.
Oh, no. Let's save that for Blade 3.
All right, this has been Care About a Garbage. We do this every Tuesday. You got something you want us to look at? We'll bloody look at it. Comic, movie, video game, Blade sequel.
If it's Blade 2 or 3, don't even bother because we'll get to it. Don't even worry. Don't waste your time and ours. We're going to get to them, all right?
I would love, though, to hear people's thoughts on this movie. How do you think it holds up? It's one of those things where, like I said, it's dated, but it's not bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm. So there's way more good than bad in this movie.
Yeah,
so.
I don't disagree. And of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. We do that every Monday morning. You want another bloody movie news of the week? We cover most of it, probably.
Some of it.
We're across it.
Some of it.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Thanks for stopping on by.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.